Welcome back to another episode of the KO Breakdown here on the Playmaker Podcast Network. I am your host, the fight analyst, Garrett Kerman. With me, as always, is my man, Joe Danger himself, Jesse Hobson. What's up, man? How's it going?
Hey, I think your network is unstable. If it's not you, it's me. And if it's not me, it's you.
It's me.
Okay. But I was thinking it was just your picks maybe that were unstable. I'm doing good. It's Friday night. We're going to talk about some fights. If you haven't already, check out my YouTube channel. I do have a brand new interview from Vernon Wells, known from The Road Warrior, Inner Space, Power Rangers. He's the villain of the 80s. So if you guys are interested, hit me up. Hit up my YouTube channel. It's a really cool interview. And yeah, other than that, just talking MMA, going to open up some PFL trading cards after this. I'm excited, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Last fight card of the year. Unfortunately, we got, what, 3-4 weeks off after this. So we're looking to make a little bit of money before we, you know, send off. I know there's some Bellator towards the end of the month, but yeah, that's not UFC. So I'm looking forward to this one.
It's not the same.
Yeah, I think it's a good fight card. It's not overwhelming, but I think it definitely serves its purpose for the last fight card of the year. Jared Cannonier taking on Sean Strickland in the main event. I think that's a good one. Obviously, the fight of the night in the co-main event, Armin Tsarukyan and Demir Usmagulov. I'm definitely looking forward to that. I mean, the whole main card. Amir Abalzi, Alessandro Costa, Alex Caceres, Juicy J. Arosa, good fight. Drew Dober and Bobby Green. I mean, those are four bangers of a fight for a main card. Five fights for a main card.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. But yeah, as far as last week goes, UFC 282, pretty much a fucking stinker. I was gonna have a great fucking night considering I thought Inc. Alive. Clear as fucking day, rounds 1, 4, and 5. I mean, I don't see how he didn't. People are saying leg kicks. Okay, cool. Leg kicks did something in rounds 2 and 3. Didn't do anything in round 1, and certainly didn't do shit in rounds 4 and 5. And there was never at a point where, yeah, I mean, granted, he was compromised on his legs, but he still fell through that shit. Meanwhile, Jan was completely dominated in 2 full rounds. You know, Ankalaev was never dominated at any moment of that fight whatsoever. So I can't see how you fathom two of the judges giving him 3 rounds is just fucking blasphemy. It really was. And that on top of, obviously, the biggest bullshit of the entire night, and Paddy Pimblett beating Jared Gordon. But
say his name again.
Paddy Pimblett. Is that his name?
Well, the way you said it, it was like really cute. It was like... Paddy Pimblett, like you're putting emphasis on like a weird part of his name. I actually am an Ankalaev fan now, so if anything came out of that day, like at least that, like I'm excited when I get his cards, I'm excited when he pops up on my news feed. Like it's weird. I was not expecting that, so at least we have that going for us. You know, Paddy Pimblett, that fight was lackluster to say the least. You know,
it was.
Jared Gordon, you know, we talked about it in the
I don't know if I'm frozen or you're frozen, but
okay.
I couldn't.
All right,
someone was frozen there for a second.
Yeah, so Paddy Pimblett, you know, the questions were answered, but now we have more questions. So where do we go from here? It was a decent fight, but I mean, the outcome was a little, I think, the issue. And right. The story as far as that card goes, though, was that the card had so much potential until it got to the co-main.
Right. So, you know how crazy that is? And there was so much hype between the co-main and the main, and those were the two worst fights of the night.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I had a good time. It sucks the way it did, but I mean, I don't know. A UFC fight card is a UFC fight card. I'm happy that We have right. another one behind, like we have one behind us, but I'm happy we have another one this weekend as well.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, our man Force Daniels is with us as always. He's excited for a great show. Let's make some money this weekend, gentlemen. I agree with you. And he said, I watched that fight twice and Patty lost in my eyes. I kind of agree. I do agree. I thought Jared Gordon was up two. I thought he was up two rounds in the first two rounds, to be honest with you. He could have edged both rounds. He is the only one that could possibly see winning all three rounds. You know, and I technically wanted Patty to win because I was telling people, like, I think he'd win, but it'll be greasy and it was a sweat. I said it last week that you should not be betting Patty at this price. I said it was going to be a sweat. Granted, you hit, but in reality, you're like, fuck, I think I lost. Yeah. You know?
Well, I mean, like, when I didn't bet on him because of that exact reason.
Right.
Like, even then, I was like, I hope that Patty wins so that we can get a decent line on whoever he faces next time.
Right.
But then at the same time, it just felt dirty. Like, it just felt really dirty.
Yeah.
With the Ankalaev one, I mean, I see where you can make an argument, but at the same time, I still feel like he won the fight. With the Patty Gordon fight, it just, I don't know. It's... What can we say that hasn't already been said?
Right. There's not much really to say there. We're just kind of commenting on what perspired and what went down in our little analysis of what happened. But yeah, it was unfortunate for Gordon. But like he said in interviews, this is the biggest, you know, blow up that he's gotten in his career. And in a way, it's actually been better for him. Where was he going to go after this? Right. You know, he probably wasn't going to fight someone in the top 15, but now he's got all this hype. Like, oh, he probably beat Patty, you know? So he's probably, they can, you know, fight again, or maybe he gets a more high profile fight because they thought he beat Patty, you know, yeah. And stuff like that. But I think it all worked out for him in the end.
Yeah. Kind of like anytime McGregor faces somebody, it like kind of becomes like the new guy, like right. Poirier got the rub. Now everybody wants to watch Poirier, you know, Nate Diaz, you know, he got the rub. Then Nate Diaz is now the money fight.
Yep.
I mean, I don't see Gordon becoming the money fight, but I definitely consider him an interesting conversation. You know, they'll probably make a UFC card of him now, or he'll be put in the video game. Yeah. So
yeah, I agree with that. And like you said, Patty, you know, his star power tends to help make other fighters, especially if they make it a competitive fight. I just don't think Patty's elite. I don't think he'll be top 15. I certainly don't think he'll ever be top 10. And I said this from the beginning. I mean, yeah. This is a guy that lost before, and he's lost to bad competition. I mean, Sorenbach, not good. Nadia Irmani, not good. It was at 145. He was kind of probably killing himself to make 145. But still, very bad looks there. But anyways, let's keep it moving. We got UFC Vegas 66 on tap Saturday, I believe at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If I'm not mistaken. I'm sorry, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, so let's get right down to the breakdown, guys. Let's get down to the breakdown. All right. Our first fight up on the prelims is in the bantamweight division between Sergey Morozov and Jurny Newsom. Right now, Morozov is a -305 favorite to come back on Newsom +255. What do you got?
So just before I break this down or before I give my thoughts on this fight, Garrett, you are I'm losing you a little bit, but you're still here. But I just wanted you in the loop in case you lose me.
Yeah, I think it's probably my connection tonight is just kind of bad, unfortunately. Everybody, you can hear my beautiful voice, I see my beautiful face, but you at least get some analysis from my voice in this mix here. We got it. We'll keep it moving.
Perfect. Okay. So initially, I was gonna pick against Newsom because I thought he had deleted me on Facebook. But apparently he just hasn't been online a lot lately. I guess he has a fight coming up or something. You know, Newsom is always a good underdog pick because he has heavy ass hands. But in this one, he's a little bit outmatched everywhere. Is just a little bit bigger. And that size should play a role in this one. Morozov also has heavy hands, and Newsom isn't a stranger to being finished. I've seen it countless times. Great fight to open the card. I just think Morozov is a little bit too much for the Portland product. Give me Morozov by KO. I'm probably going to say maybe round two, round three. I think they're going to fill each other out in the first round. But yeah, it's going to be a knockout by Mr. Sergey Morozov.
Yeah, I'm definitely leaning that way. I think I got in on Morozov much earlier in the week. I think it was like minus 260. Yeah, about minus 260 or so. But, you know, it's very steep now. But, you know, he is the right side here, guys. I mean, Newsom, like you said, packs some good power. It reminds me of a Wish version of John Dodson.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, totally.
Definitely a Wish version of John Dodson. Has the same type of in-and-out movements. Short, stocky, decent wrestler, BJJ black belt, power in his hands. They fight very, very similar. But I obviously know that, you know, Dotson's a much better fighter. But Morozov here, he's great everywhere. He's very technical on the feet. Doesn't pack a ton of power, but he's got enough power to make it hurt. Especially, he will hurt Newsom in this fight on the feet. I can guarantee you that. Mixes it well with head kicks and straight punches right down the pipe. And then where he's best is in his grappling. He's landing over almost 3 takedowns per 15 minutes. He's a great grappler. He's got submission skills. I don't expect him to finish Newsom because he's got that BJJ, you know, black belt under his belt. But unfortunately, I just think he gets overwhelmed here in every facet of the game. Probably gets taken down and controlled. Newsom gets taken down a lot. Doesn't have great takedown defense either. So, and he gets flat on his back. Doesn't really do much of – doesn't have a dangerous guard for someone who has such high skills in jiu-jitsu. But – I have Morozov here taking a clear-cut, unanimous decision. I parlayed him with our next fighter coming up. And that fight is in the flyweight division between Daniil Kopp and Dvorak. Right now, minus 250 to come back on plus 210. What do you got?
Yeah, let me get this out of the way. Dvorak sounds like a He-Man villain. If only he was as cool as one. He does have some decent wins on his record since joining the UFC, but as soon as he gets to step up in competition, he loses. I think we'll see more of that here. You know, with Dvorak, he's a decent enough to stay on the roster. Cape is decent enough to continue to move up. While I don't think Cape knocks him out, Dvorak is tough, and if Nicolau couldn't do it, why are people putting money on Cape to do it? I'm on Cape by decision. Both guys should have their moments because they're both decent. They're both mid-level guys. Cape's just a little bit higher on the mid-level tier. But Cape should do enough to show the judges that this is his win. I like him by decision.
Yeah, I'm definitely the same sentiment here. I'm very high on Cop.
I've been Cape, high Cop, whatever.
Yeah, it's Cup. It's Fidel Cup. But, I've been high on him since, you know, coming into the UFC. He's had really close fights with elite competition. I don't think Dvorak's anywhere near, as we saw, he's not better than Matthias Nicolai, who Cup arguably beat in that matchup. There's a reason why he was the backup for the flyweight championship at one point. Because, you know, they believe in him. He is one of the top prospects. He comes after those two close losses, comes back-to-back nasty knockout finishes against really tough guys that normally don't get knocked out, especially like Zalgazumagulov, who's got a brick for a fucking head. He's got a chin on him. And we've seen Nicolai knock down Dvorak and almost finish him. That's why I see the sentiment of Kopp finishing Dvorak. I feel like he's going to get three knockouts back-to-back-to-back because Dvorak is not going to go and look for takedowns. He's not landed a single takedown in his UFC career. So we know he's not going to do that. And he's just going to stand there and trade with Kopp. Kopp's got arguably the second or third biggest power in the entire division. I would say, obviously, Figgy's at number one. Number two, I would give it to Kaikar France, maybe. Or, and then after that, it's Cobb. There's no one else after those three. Those three got big boy power, okay? For little guys, they got big boy power. And if you're getting knocked out by Nicolau, you're getting knocked the fuck out by Manel Cobb. And that's who I parlayed with our man Sergey Morozov earlier in the week. And that was at, what, plus 107? That's a steal, because right now that's minus 115.
Yeah.
So we killed that closing line value by like, what, 30 cents about on the dollar. But yeah, I think Cobb's one of my more confident bets on the night. I think he comes in there, absolutely starches him, and he gets a fucking true contender again. I mean, I don't know why they're giving him David Dvorak here. Coming off a loss, coming off a fucking loss. This man is on two fight winning streak, two knockouts, back to back, and you're fighting a guy that's coming off a loss. So a guy that you arguably beat makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, it's a little odd.
Makes absolutely no sense. He should be fighting someone in the top 15, top 10, not fucking David Dvorak. Actually, no, I'm sorry. David Dvorak is in the top 10, I believe. So maybe that's why. I think he's number 9 and Cobb is 12. But this makes no sense. He should be getting somebody above David Dvorak at this point. Like, hop him. I mean, he's coming off a loss to somebody that he probably definitely beat. So, anyways, give me an L copy. He gets the job done. Inside the distance. Knocking the fuck out. All right. Let's keep it moving. Our next fight up is a fight in the welterweight division between Renat Fakhradinov. Something like that. Fakhradinov. And Brian Battle. Okay. I can say Battle. Renat is minus 150. The comeback on Battle plus 130. Who do you got?
Yeah, I'm not even going to try to say his name.
You should. I kind of want to hear it.
Fakhradinov.
I think it's Fakhradinov. Because I edited to the weigh-ins a little bit, so I kind of got a sense what it was, but I still can't say it. I'm not that good.
I'll just call him Fak.
Fak is good.
Yeah, yeah. So just to recap, I'm saying KO in the first one, decision in the second one, and you're doing the opposite.
Yeah.
Okay. So in this one, you know, I wouldn't exactly call Fox's recent wins all that great. He beat a guy with a bad chin by decision, and before that he beat Eric Spicely. While he has double the experience of Battle, Battle is a little bit bigger and seems to finally be putting it all together. I feel like this one actually will be a lot of fun, but I think Pooh Bear rolls here. You know, even though he changed his nickname to the Executioner, I believe, I'm still calling him Pooh Bear. I like him by decision, but while we're on the topic, I need to mention that Battle showed up in my People You Might Know on Facebook. I shot him a friend request, so his response will determine if I switch my pick or not. There still is time, Pooh Bear. But what the hell is the deal with this new nickname? I like Brian Battle by decision. I know your pick here, but I'm not confident. So that friend request is gonna really determine, you know, my overall and final choice as far as this pick goes.
Oh man, I actually he was one of the people I may know as well. So look for that. We have a little bit in common there, sir.
Hey.
Anyway, as far as this fight goes, Brian Battles looked great. The dude's in the best shape of his life. He's looked phenomenal. I don't know why he was at 185 to begin with. If he can make 170, he looks in phenomenal shape. He's fast. He's got really good range management, utilizing his kicks at range. He's got power. He brought that 185 power down to 170, and he's looking really good. My only drawback is his takedown defense is still pretty awful. It was awful at 185. I don't expect it to be any better at 170, especially against somebody who is his background is wrestling by a good margin. He just had a wrestling match, like I think a couple months ago as well. So the guy frequently wrestles a lot. And you look at Battle, I mean, he's going to take it down by guys like Trayshawn Gore with arguably the ugliest double leg takedown you will ever watch ever in your entire life. It was that bad. And when it comes to being on the mat, he does, Fakhradinov does a very good job at controlling. And we know Brian Battle can get controlled. I just feel like I'm going to, if we're going striker versus grappler, and we know the striker has tendencies to get taken down, I got to go with the grappler here, especially at minus 150. Got in a little bit earlier, minus 125. It's still a good line. I think we're going to see that Fakhradinov is going to, he's a, and I'm trying, I'm probably butchering it, but I'm trying here.
You're doing okay.
But I just feel like he's going to go in there. He does take him down, control him, ground down, and take a wide decision here. It'll be Brian Battle's first fight, you know, where he's also, I don't know if he's fought 170 earlier, but this is going to be a fight where he's going to have to go past round one, right? So we're going to see him after round one at 170. And he's going to have to go after round one and defend takedowns for 15 minutes during the course of this fight. You know, that's where the problem lies, and that's where all the question marks lie. So you're bringing a guy where you have no idea how his cardio is going to be, defending takedowns at a brand new weight class for 15 minutes. I don't expect him, his cardio to hold up. So give me minus 150. Let's see what happens. All right, we're moving on. It is what it is. I like Brian Battle. It's not like I dislike the guy. I just think this is not a smart matchup. And then on top of it, this is not a fight that he has a full camp for. So he didn't have a full camp of wrestling.
Yeah.
No, he had 2 weeks to wrestle his life away. Not saying he's a bad wrestler, but we already know his tendencies to get taken down. He's going to get taken down in this fight. It's whether if he can get up or not.
That is the one thing that does concern me. So, I mean, I can at least side with you on that.
Right, because on the feet, we know Brian Battle is a better striker. It's just whether or not, can he keep it there?
We'll see. Well, I do really like the point that you made about him being taken down by Gore. So, initially, whenever I first saw this matchup, I didn't really consider that. But then once I went back and watched that fight, I was like, that's actually a really good point. Anyone that gets taken down by Gore with ease, you know, I don't think that that's,
this man literally did like a spear. He like ran and he ran into that double leg.
Yeah. It's a good, I mean, that's a really good point though. So, I mean, I'm excited to see, you know, what does happen in this matchup based on the fact of, you know, how Gore did handle him. Cause I, you know, that particular season of Tough, they wanted to paint this picture of Gore being this like world beater. And ever since then, it just hasn't happened.
He did look good in his last fight, though. I gave him props there.
And you called that too. Yeah. Fantastic. You know, maybe you're just really good at reading Trayshawn Gore. So
I don't know, man. I like Tough. So like I stay true to Tough because I'm watching Tough like Tough every single. It's easy kind of to call these guys fights because you watch them every single week for like, what, 10 weeks, something like that.
Except when their last name is Usman.
Yeah.
But moving on.
Our next fight up is in the lightweight division between Mahashete and Rafa Garcia. Right now, Garcia minus 150 to come back on Mahashete plus 130. What do you got?
Garcia, you know, you interviewed him. One of my favorite interviews of yours, actually. Didn't you interview? He was in a car, I believe.
No, that was Danny Chavez.
Oh, same thing. They both have the same last name. Why did I think it was him? Maybe it was Ryan then, because I know Ryan be interviewing everybody. But anyway, Garcia, you know, he's fought some killers since joining the UFC.
Yeah, he really has. It's crazy.
It's like insane, like the who's who of heavy hands. Ultimately, it's just hard to bet against someone literally named Machete. He has one decision loss, and if he does lose, I'd expect it to be that way. However, if anyone finds the finish in this one, I'd expect it to be Machete. Both guys are insanely fast. Garcia does tend to slow down. So because of this, if Machete is able to utilize his gas tank, I think he could find the finish in the third round. Garcia is good and he's fun, but I think the Chinaman may be too much for him here.
Man, I don't know, bro. He's definitely a lot bigger than Garcia. I get, you know, I give him that. And he also missed weight and he was 158 pounds too. So, you know, you have that, but
yeah,
he's fought some pretty fucking terrible competition. Like beyond fucking terrible competition. Like this is a pretty sizable step up in competition. Even though Rafa Garcia is not great, but he's a hell of a lot better than Steve Garcia.
Yeah, that's true.
And literally everyone else he's beaten. Everyone else. And then also, have we ever seen any tape on Machete's takedown defense at all for 15 minutes of relentless takedown defense? No. And the kid's young. What is he, like 23 years old?
Yeah, he's really young.
He's fought absolutely fucking no one. He's 23 years old. He's going against a guy that has almost double the amount of fights that he has against elite competition. Went to decision with Dracar Close. Went to decision with Nasrat Haqparast. Granted, he got out-cardioed by Gutzmacher, but he was beating the dog shit out of him in round one.
Yeah,
and
he was.
And he just couldn't put him away. And then he beaten a decent competitor in the Tom Levy. I thought it was a great win. And then he fucking dragged Jesse Ronson, who was a 31 fight veteran. Dragged his ass. That fight wasn't even fucking close. Like, at all. And he's only been finished. I'm trying to think about it. He's never been finished. His three losses are in the UFC, might I add. I mean, he came into the UFC 11-0, beating someone like, he beat Eric Gonzalez, he beat Humberto Bandanai, who was in the UFC, Chase Gibson, who was a mainstay on the regional scene. This dude has fought legit competition, beaten legit competition. I don't think this is, the only thing I have to worry about is, you know, the reach advantage that, I don't even think he has a reach advantage in this fight, honestly, if I'm not mistaken. I think they have about the same reach, surprisingly. Or he's only got, no, yeah, Machete's only got 1 inch on reach. But he's got 5 inches on height. I just think Machete is not, I can't fathom playing the young buck here, man. He's going to have some sick knockout power in order to beat Garcia. Because Garcia is relentless. He's got good cardio. And he's got good grappling. We've never seen Machete grapple. In his last two fights, 0 times did he have to defend a takedown. 0. So now he's going to have to defend on average. Okay, I'll do the math because I can't do my math right now. 7 divided by. He's going to have to defend on average 9 to 10 takedowns across 15 minutes of fighting. And his opponent is successful on 42% of his takedowns. 42% on 10. That means he's landing almost 4 takedowns per 15 minutes. 4 takedowns. And this kid has never faced that type of relentless takedowns. And we know that he had a rough weight cut to not make 155. Yeah. He was at 158. So now he's going to have to go in. And he's going to have to wrestle for 15 minutes. And use all his strength. Use all his cardio that he drained out of him. So yeah, I'm taking Garcia. I mean, this is a huge step down in competition. Like, you're talking about a contender series debut fighter that's only got 10 fights in his professional career. What could have been, like, this guy's been fighting guys that have 30 fights in his career, you know, before we even make it to the UFC.
But his name is Machete, Garrett.
I do give him that. He's got a dope ass name. But I just can't fathom taking him here. I'm not even sure why they gave him Garcia. They should have kept, you know, the Steve Garcia, go a little step up from there. Garcia, I mean, going from Steve Garcia to Rafa Garcia is a pretty massive step up of competition.
Yeah, that's a step up for sure.
Yeah,
but I think it's like the idea that Machete will do the same thing again. That's what they're counting on anyway, or at least that's what they hope.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that though. They feel like, I don't know, man. He reminds me of like the Latino Jared Gordon. Like, I swear, because he comes forward, he has heavy hands, he's got good grappling, he's got a good chin on him, he's always in a fight, he brings it, he's someone that always fights for your money, win or lose. That's a Latino Jared Gordon right there, but let's see if he actually can get the decision win, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least he's going, well, that's the thing, he's going up against someone with a cool name.
Right?
Pimblett, Machete, you know, you never know.
Yeah, all right. Oh, well, I'm sorry, Forrest. I didn't know we're just going through this. I know you're saying some things here. He's taking battle. Well, he said he was taking a small stab at battle. Okay. He said
now that we've talked it out, I think that we have a better chance with battle than we do Machete. So.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that. But he's saying the wrestling and takedown defense is you guys' concern. And then he said that I talked to Battle.
But at the same time, yeah. Battle is
he's battle bigger. Test. He's not really, bro.
He's a little bit. I mean, he's
like an inch bigger. He's not like bigger. He's not like the last fight he had. He was bigger. You know, he was bigger in that fight. He's not really bigger in this fight. Renat's pretty damn big for 170, and he's strong as shit. I don't think he's gonna have any problems at all. Taking battle down at all, like it should be relatively easy for him to get battle down. But moving on to this fight with Machete and Rafa Garcia, it's tough for I don't know how people are betting Machete in this matchup. There's so many question marks. It's like insane amount of question marks. You're just betting because you want to fade Garcia, which I get.
Yeah,
I've faded Garcia in the past. At plus money, didn't work out. But like, this is not it. This just can't be it. It just can't be it. You're talking about a guy that's got half the amount of experience against extremely low level of competition. And now, do you know, can he defend takedowns well? Who is he defending? Even if you watch and defend takedowns, who is he defending takedowns against?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I thought he was a guy in a car, you know?
All right. Let's keep it moving. Too much of that. All right. Next up is arguably my fight. One of my favorite fights on the entire card. In the bantamweight division between Saeed Nurmagomedov and Sayyudkhob Kakhramonov. That's a tough one. All right, right now, Kakhramonov -115 to come back on Nurmagomedov -105. What do you got?
Okay, wow. Yeah, I love this fight too. And I think a lot of people are betting on Saeed simply because of his last name.
I see a lot of people betting on Kakhramonov.
Well,
I see hardly anybody on Nurmagomedov.
Initially, though, it seemed like everyone was on him. Mind you, I looked at this on Monday, you know, because I come to these things prepared, Garrett. You know, Kakhramonov, you know, he showed us a lot in his last fight against Ronnie Lawrence. But, yeah, and I think he'll show us more of the same here. Saeed is more of a striker than anything else. So if Kakhramonov can get him down and keep Saeed there, the casuals are going to be sweating from bell to bell. I like the dog odds on the California kid, and I like the over 2.5, as I think these guys will be wrestling for most of the first two rounds. I like Kakhramonov by decision because I don't think he's going to let Saeed strike. Kind of like the Ronnie Lawrence fight.
Yeah, I understand that sentiment. But I think everybody's going to be highly, highly upset when Kakhramonov can't land takedowns and can't get on top because he has absolutely 0% chance of beating Saeed if he can't land a takedown. Point blank. Because he's not the better striker at all.
No, he's definitely not.
He will never be the better striker. But, like, I'm just trying to figure out where everybody's like, oh, my God, he's the next fucking greatest thing because he wrestle fucked Ronnie Lawrence.
Yeah, I think it's Lawrence. Because Ronnie Lawrence was like a hype, like everyone was hyped on Lawrence because of his
But Ronnie Lawrence also beat fucking nobody. Yeah. Okay. Kakramanov has been fucking nobody.
You beat Ronnie Lawrence?
Nobody. Even before the UFC, yes, he fought to a decision against Umar Nurmagomedov. Buckeye dominated in that fight. It's not like he won a round. No, he lost all three rounds. He fought a good fight, went to a decision, didn't get finished. Kudos. But since then, he's beaten Ronnie Lawrence and Trevin fucking Jones. Okay. Nobody even remotely on the same wavelength as Saeed Nurmagomedov, Douglas Silva, Cody Stamen, Ricardo Carlos. I mean, we're just jumping on a train here because he wrestled up Ryan Lawrence, guys. That's why. Because everything's because he got taken down by Hany Barcelos two times. That, oh my God, it's over. Kakramanov's going to wrestle fuck the shit out of Saeed. It's over, guys. That's it. Cash our tickets. It's it. It's over. He's going to go takedown for takedown for takedown for 15 minutes. And Nurmagomedov's not going to be able to do fucking a thing about it for some reason. I don't fathom how this man can't defend a takedown. It's not like he's a D1 All-American wrestler, is he? No. Does he have any accolades in wrestling? No. He just had one good performance against a guy that he was stronger and better than. Is he bigger and stronger than Nurmagomedov? No. And then he's also got to get in range, too. He's going to get clipped with leg kicks, with punches, with knees. And also, on top of it, who has more avenues to win here? Kakramanov or Saeed?
Probably Saeed.
Definitely Saeed, as we saw in the Cody Stamen fight, where he snapped his neck and choked the fuck out. So now Kakramanov, if he's getting lazy on the takedowns, he's getting tired after going takedown heavy against a guy that's bigger and stronger than him, that's actually giving him some fucking pushback, he's going to snatch that neck and take that with him home. And this is a fight where neither guy likes each other. So there's a lot of bad blood between them, and it's going to be a really good fucking fight. But for me, I was able to get in on Saeed when he got to plus money at plus 100. And once I did that, I had to bet it. I feel like there's too much value. I feel like if you can even get Kakramanov at plus money, there's value there in itself as well. That's why I'm going with Saeed, because I got my plus money. He's definitely fought the better competition. He's more dangerous. And his fight game is not predicated on having to just take someone down and hold them there. I don't expect him to be take him down and hold him there. Because after the Barcelos fight, no one was able to just take him down and hold him there. I mean, yes, he got taken down once by De Andrade, but that was one time. What was the control time there? 4 minutes. But yeah, anyways. 4 minutes of control time. But, well, that was across three rounds. So, anyways. But like I was saying, I don't expect Kakramanov just go in there and do what he did to Ryan Lawrence and just stick his dick in his ass on the mat. That's pretty much what he did. I don't expect that to happen. So give me Nurmagomedov here. I got my plus money. If you got my plus money, you bet that shit.
I think part of it though is with Saeed, he just always appears so uninterested. Like he has this like look on his face, like
what? But like, did you see the face off though? He's very interested in this fucking fight. I think he's gonna come out guns blazing. I think he's gonna be the one. Normally he's the one that stays on the outside and utilizes his reach and his range. I think he's gonna come out and come forward and really put it on Kakramanov and not make him be the one that's dictating the pace of the fight and coming forward and getting his back to the fence and, you know, and taking him down. I think he's gonna come forward and throw some fucking hands. Like, he does not like Kakramanov, and I think he's gonna put it on him.
Honestly. Why don't they like each other?
I don't know. I think Kakramanov is talking shit. I think because that's what he does, you know.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's you know, good way to, you know, build up some character in that. But yeah, he was definitely talking shit. And I think Saeed just doesn't like it. They both got it. They didn't get into it, but they were head to head, forehead touching forehead, audience. So, and they were pushing each other back and forth. So I know they don't like each other. So, and they were chirping a little bit.
Cool.
We'll see what happens. That's what makes this fight so much better.
Yeah, I'll watch the weigh. I mean, I watched the actual like legit weigh-ins, but I didn't watch the face-off, so I'll have to do that later on.
Yeah, it sucks because they do like 40 minutes after the weigh-ins are done. But anyways,
yeah.
All right, moving on. Our next fight up is in the welterweight division between Jake Matthews and Matthew Semelsberger. Right now, Matthews -305 to come back on Semelsberger +250.
Yeah, everyone's really hyping up the Andre Fiallo fight. And while I do think it was an impressive win, I think Semelsberger's loss, it's that loss that's a bit more telling. Morano is good, but he is obviously chinny. Why didn't Semelsberger, you know, take advantage of this? Instead, he allowed Morano to fight his fight, got tired, and Morano cruised to victory. I think we see the same thing here. Matthews is going to come in hot and heavy and attempt to control the fight from beginning to end. I doubt either guy gets finished because they both are tough, but I truly believe that Matthews simply just has more tools. I like Matthews by decision. I think he's going to play it easy and kind of just ultimately just roll. That's really it. Matthews versus Matt.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. I think, you know, I think Matthews is just the better fighter in every aspect. What Semelsberger has, obviously, is a dynamite of a right hand. He's got some serious power, and he can knock out anybody. You know, I would rather see Jake Matthews just go the wrestling route. I mean, we've seen what AJ Fletcher was able to do with Semelsberger. We can see Jake Matthews do even better and keep him there. And he Jake Matthews would easily take his back and just, you know, just keep him on the mat. Semelsberger is not a good grappler. He's not a good wrestler. He's just primarily a striker that likes to just throw hands and land some heavy shots. If Matthews goes in there fighting like he did in the Fiallo fight, he's going to give Semelsberger the chance to land something on him, which I don't want. That's my only drawback because, you know, he came out with a great performance against Fiallo and, you know, he had that great knockout. You kind of want to keep doing that. But I hope he has good fight IQ and does a smart thing and takes him down. Granted, don't get me wrong, Matthews could probably beat him on the feet, but his best and easiest way to win is just take the fight to the mat and dominate him there. But which way, you got to go Matthews here.
Yeah, by keeping it standing up, he's giving Semelsberger a shot. He's giving him a path to victory. Right. Any other route is a win in Matthews, you know, Matthews' hat. So I just don't see it going another way unless, like you said, unless Matthews just comes out looking for the finish and ultimately putting himself in danger.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, I'm reluctant to play -305, but I do like the decision prop of +140, though.
I like it, too.
I like that. I get a little bit of value there. I don't expect him to get a finish over Semelsberger, but, you know, it could happen. But that's why I think we're getting some value because of what Matthews did. Normally, Matthews is a decision machine. So I think since he got that knockout, they're giving us some value back on that decision prop. So let's keep it going. All right. Our next fight up is in the women's strawweight division between Cheyenne Velismus and Corey McKenna. -180 to come back to McKenna +155.
Yeah, you know who I got. I'm rooting for Corey McKenna so that Cheyenne will get cut and eventually join OnlyFans. Sit down, white knights. Cheyenne won't be fucking you anytime soon. Seriously, though, while McKenna had a bad showing in her fight against Reed, she came back and subbed Granger with ease. Cheyenne has only beaten garbage opponents, and McKenna, when on point, does have a killer instinct. Both girls will have their moments, but I'm siding with the better of the two. McKenna wins by decision. You know, give me the plus money line, but also give me the decision. It's juicy, just like Cheyenne Velismus.
First off, definitely not a fucking fight. Let's put it that way. Why would I put on the only women that can make fight on a fight card? Like, why would I put myself through that 15 minutes aside for no apparent reason. Right, first things first, Corey McKenna, definitely the better grappler of the two. We know that. She's got tenacity. She's fierce. She comes forward. She's always pushing the pace. She's got, I think, the second shortest reach in the entire UFC at 58 inches. 58 inches, everybody.
Looks like we lost Garrett, and that's not a problem. 58 inches is what he was talking about a moment ago, and I think that is not going to be a problem for Corey McKenna. I will be rooting for her. I think that the money line, I think the decision is all a go.
My computer's not having it tonight, I guess. I guess it just wants to be an asshole. Anyways.
We're talking about her reach.
Yeah, we're talking about how, you know, she probably has the reach of a midget. Let's put it that way. Okay. Moving on to Velasquez. I think she's the better striker. She's got more tools. She's longer. She's rangier. She's she's got nasty head kicks. But yeah. So, you know, her takedown defense, not good. McKenna could exploit that. The reason why I'm emphasis on could is because she's a fucking dumbass and she doesn't want to fight smart in there. The Elise Reed fight, huge grappling advantage. What does she do? She strikes for almost the whole fight. She goes for a takedown late in round two. For what reason? I mean, if she just fights smart, goes for takedowns, she wins. But you're betting on someone that has a fight IQ of a fucking peanut. So, I don't think you could trust either one of these two. I don't think you should be betting on either one of these two. But if I had to choose, I think I would bet on a little bit of a fight IQ in Cheyenne Velasquez. Just a little bit. Because she has a fight IQ and knows to fucking not grapple. We should see. We shall see. So yeah, I'm taking Velasquez here. I think she should be able to just stay at range, utilize her kicks, her reach, and her speed and her movement, and stay off the cage and get a job done via decision. Not betting that shithole of a fight though. Moving on. Our next fight up is in the middleweight division between Cody Brundage and Michael Olechek. Right now, Olechek plus 285 to come back on Brundage. +240
Who got? Olechek. Is that how you say it?
Olechek.
He beats Sam Alvey, and then all of a sudden we're betting him at -285. The dude.
I don't think it's that. I mean, you have to go back to when he was at 205. That motherfucker was putting hands on people at 205. That motherfucker's huge.
The dude barely beat Bukauskas, who is no longer in the UFC, and lost to Jacoby. My point is that this line is far too wide.
I get that.
And having already lost to somebody from Factory X, Brundage should be coming in with a solid game plan. While I do think it is possible that Brundage finds the finish, I think that with Jacoby in his corner and in his ear, Brundage will probably keep Olechek against the fence. I like Brundage money line and I like decision. Olechek, he will be exposed yet again. That's it.
Yeah, I don't think the whole him and Dustin Jacoby fought is really gonna play any ounce of a factor in there because he is not Dustin Jacoby.
I know.
He cannot fight like Dustin Jacoby did against Olechek. He cannot go in there and fight anything remotely close to that. So he's gonna have to wrestle Olechek, right? So I don't expect him to land takedowns. And when he doesn't land takedowns, he's going to get knocked the fuck out. Like, bad. If he doesn't land takedowns, he's going to get knocked the fuck out. I mean, Olechek's got power, and he digs to the body. He goes to the head. I mean, this dude can mix it up, and he's going to fuck up Cody Brundage if he doesn't go and pretty much just bum rush him and take him to the mat. But I don't expect that to happen. I think Oleg Jacek is now fighting at his natural weight class of 185 pounds. He's bigger, he's stronger, and he's more powerful. He gets the job done. I think he gets a knockout. I think the knockout is minus 105. So we know the odds makers are thinking Brundage is going to get knocked the fuck out as well. I mean, granted, like you said, Alvey fight, it's fucking Sam Alvey. We get it. But he's had some good fights prior to that against much better competition than fucking Cody Brundage. This is around this. This is, I wanted to say it's Sam Alvey level, but it's about a little smidge of a step up from Sam Alvey. You know, Sam Alvey obviously is on his last legs, right? But he's still more dangerous than Cody Brundage is. He's still got power. He's still more technical. He's been in there with elite competition. He's beaten elite competition. Cody Brundage has beaten nobody, and he hasn't been in there with anybody good either.
But he has the X factor. You're forgetting.
X. Throw him up.
All right. The fact that he barely beat Bukauskas, I think, is kind of what.
But Bukauskas was okay. It's a 205 pounder, right? That has exceptional range with kickboxing. Can Cody Brundage fight like that?
No.
So we can't think of, he lost to Bukauskas. Okay. But that's a completely different fight. He's going against a wrestler, a guy that cannot outstrike him. Cody Brundage will never be able to outstrike Oleg Jacek. He will die. So he's going to have to wrestle.
He will die.
He will die out there if he thinks he can just go strike Oleg Jacek. It ain't going to happen. He's going to have to wrestle.
I don't know. I think he's worth a stab. I'm not.
At the price, I totally get it. You know?
Yeah, I'm not sold on Oleg Jacek not being a complete fraud. I know he has heavy hands. I know he finished people before, pre Sam Alvey. I don't know. Something about it. Something's weird about this fight. So we shall see. I wouldn't be surprised if Brundage did wrestle him though. I know he's going to have to, but I mean, it's just, I guess, does he wrestle him for two rounds and then try to avoid the big punch in the third round?
Is he going to be successful?
Say it again?
Is he going to be successful?
Yeah, I mean,
I really don't.
You don't know, but I would hope that he could at least be successful in two rounds. I mean, we'll see, but I don't know. I'm curious.
You also want to bet on a guy that has the ability to end the fight too.
Yeah, I'm aware, but at the same time,
Cody Brundage doesn't have that ability.
Yeah, but I'm not. But the line just seems too wide to bet on someone that either can be wrestled for 15 minutes or can maybe finish the fight.
Wait, I'm just trying to look up something here because I noticed that what's his name? Oleg Jacek is a southpaw. He has faced a southpaw, but that was against a grappler. There was barely any striking. So this is going to be his first southpaw that he's faced in the UFC. The reason why I'm not counting Maximov as a southpaw is because there was barely any striking in that at all. So there was all grappling. So one, he's going to have to go in there and try to outstrike a southpaw that he's never really had to deal with, right? And now he's going to have to shoot on a southpaw too, as well. So that's also different.
Yeah.
Everything's different when you're shooting on a guy that's different stance than you. Normally you when you're shooting, you shoot for that lead leg. Well, now he has to shoot opposite for that lead leg. Different. So we'll see how well he does shooting, on a southpaw, how he does striking against a southpaw as well. I understand taking the dog shot here because it is a bit wide, right? But ultimately, I think Jacek just knocks him the fuck out. I just feel like he does. I mean, William Knight finished him. So
yeah, that's the one that has me worried a little bit. But William Knight is also like a big ass piece of black steak. So, I mean,
yeah, but like he got tired.
Yeah.
I mean, like the dude went balls out for 2 minutes and got tired wrestling. So if he's got to go and wrestle heavy in this fight, he's going to get tired again.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. William Knight's also like big and beef. Like, it just seems like you would actually like expend yourself a little bit more. Olajacek is
I agree with that.
Needle. Like, I don't know. Anyway, we've spent way too much time on this one. Let's
keep it going. Let's move it on. We're finally up to our main card, because now it's like we're almost an hour in. We're going crazy in this fight card. Anyways, our first fight up on the main card is in the lightweight division between Jude Dober and Bobby Green. Right now, Dober -155 to come back on Green, +135. What do you got?
Yeah, it seems like you're stable now, which is nice. It was difficult talking to myself for a moment there. Green was on a nice little run until he fought Islam. And despite popular belief, I think his beard is really stupid. We get it. You're cool, but you're also 36 years old. Get some real facial hair, dude. Green is going to attempt to point fight Dober. And Dober is going to come in hot and heavy. Dober should be able to figure out Green pretty quickly, as it isn't a difficult task to understand that he punches twice and slips. But with Green having the slight reach advantage, you know, who knows? I figure Dober eventually gets inside, lands some heavy ones, and finds the finish. Quagmire wins again. Giggity. Drew Dober by KO.
KO? I think Green's got a better chance than that to get knocked out by fucking Drew Dober.
For some reason, I just feel like those punches, like, he's getting old, and like,
yeah,
I feel,
but he rolls with the punches quite well with his defense.
He does. I'll give you that, but I just don't see Dober allowing him to continue to run away or slip. I think that he's eventually going to catch him, and I think that this is the fight that he gets caught.
I mean, it's definitely possible. Dober's not, and he doesn't. It's just, you know, Dober's fought some pretty, I mean, Green has fought some pretty powerful punches, and they haven't been able to get him out of there. I mean, granted, Fiziev, he went full 15 with Fiziev. Fiziev is knocking everybody the fuck out except for Bobby Green, so that's why I'm a little perplexed there. But, you know, I get it. He's getting older, you know, wear and tear, and I get it, but I don't know. We'll see. But this is a tough matchup to call. I think it's going to be extremely close. Green definitely has the volume advantage. Dober tends to bleed, too. That's another thing that he has going for him. He's got a big-ass chin, a big-ass head. Very easily able to hit for Green. But on the other hand, you have Dober. He comes forward. He's definitely going to land the more telling shots. He's going to be the one that's really going to be landing the more powerful shots. And, you know, that sways the judges a little bit. But I'm expecting an extremely close fight here, to the point where you're sweating on either one of these fuckers that you're betting on. So what I would like to do, and I'm going to dabble a little bit on this prop, I'm going to take either fighter to win via split decision at +500.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
I don't care who the fuck wins. I just want it to be a split. I think it's going to be a greasy split decision for either one. You talk about Bobby Green. All he does is go to fucking splits, right? I mean, that's like his MO. Win or lose, that man goes to split decisions. Let's count how many split decisions he's had in the UFC, right? Okay, I can't even say it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or 6 split decisions. That's a lot, right? And then these two are primarily strikers. It's going to be a very close fight on the feet. I don't think either one of these two are going to really run away with it. I don't think either one of these two are going to get a knockout, as they both have really good chins. I mean, who has knocked out Bobby Green? I don't think anybody. No. Only Dustin Poirier.
Yeah.
Poirier is the only one that's knocked him out. And we know Poirier's got a little bit more power than Jude Dober does. Let's be honest. But yeah.
When was that?
That was way back in the day. That was way back in 2016.
Yeah. See, I like that play. The only other fight that I think could maybe go to split would be the McKenna.
Yeah. That too.
Yeah.
I wonder, actually, let me look at that.
Or honestly, even the next fight. I mean, there's a few that could go to split.
Bro, I'm telling you, these split props, I guarantee you, if you dab a little bit on some of these, if you bet a little bit on six fights that you think are going to be close, right? And the decision prop and the fight goes to a decision is favored relatively high, right? Like you said in the McKenna fight. I feel like there's a good chance that the fight could be fairly close, that these guys' judges don't see it correctly, see it the right way, and we can get a split decision. Yeah. And then you're getting either fighter to win via split or majority decision in the McKenna and in Velasquez fight is plus 380.
Yeah, that's not bad.
you know how crazy it is? I mean, that, you know, one of them could obviously win unanimous decision. I get it. But you're taking a chance. It's plus 380. Look, plus 380 there, right? Another fight in Bobby Green. That should be a fairly close decision fight. Plus 500 for a split there. You know, these are some of the times where, like, I want to start betting these split props. Because I think you're getting great value. Because these judges aren't judging fights, you know, the same way. They're judging fights however they fucking feel. They're not going by the book. They're not thinking how we're thinking. They're not thinking how they're supposed to be thinking. We saw that last weekend. So we've seen a lot of split decisions, and we're going to keep seeing more split decisions until something is done about either the rules or the judges. So I'm taking these splits because I feel like there's a ton of value.
Well, yeah, apparently a few of these judges have their own ways of as far as they judge. Like, right. They have their own
way. Criteria.
Thank you. Yeah.
That is crazy. That's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of these fights go to split decisions. the judges, they come from glory hole MMA.
He's not wrong.
Straight out of the James Krause Discord, 1%. All right, let's keep it moving. Our next fight up is in the featherweight division between Juicy J, Julian Erosa, and Bruce Leroy, Alex Caceres. Right now, Erosa minus 165 to come back, and Caceres plus 140. Who do you got?
So, you know, we were talking about the split decision. For some reason, if this one does go that route, I do think that this has the possibilities of going that route. But I'm going to take a little bit of a turn there and say both guys are awkward as fuck. And while Caceres, you know, was on a nice run until recently, I think Juicy J is going to hand deliver Bruce Leroy to the Shadow Realm. Caceres' style should play right into Erosa, who will have the height and reach advantage in this one. Not to mention Caceres' wins outside of Hooper really aren't that great competition. Sorry. Erosa is a pretty big step up, and I just don't see him being able to solve the Rubik's Cube that is, you know, Juicy J Erosa. You know, Caceres is a legend, I guess you could say, as far as recent and existing MMA talent, but he hasn't really had any, like, all that great of wins lately. I just think that Erosa might be too weird, too like elusive for him, and I'm thinking that Erosa finds the KO.
My only drawback, I'm betting Juicy J, Julian Erosa. I just think he's, you know, he's at his peak now. He's finally hit his stride. He's winning fights. And against good competition. I mean, his last one was fucking phenomenal against an elite kickboxer in Hakeem Dawodu. He fucked him up on the feet, took him down, dominated him there. It was a fucking beautiful performance. Then he beat Charles Jourdain. I mean, that was a great win there. He came back at the Darce choke. He beat Nate Landwehr. He beat Sean Woodson. The only drawback, you know, was the Sungwoo Choi fight. But, I mean, he got caught. It is what it is, right? Yeah. But he's in some fucking good competition in five of his last six. Meanwhile, look at Sarah's, his best win was, I don't fucking know.
Chase Hooper?
Sungwoo Choi?
Yeah.
I guess. And he almost got finished in that fight. And then Troy also hand delivered it to him on a fucking silver platter. Here, take that and sink in the rear naked choke. Good night. And that was, I mean, that was the biggest bullshit I've ever seen. He literally just gave him the fight. My drawback is with Juicy J. I heard in the interview saying that he wants to take him to deep waters. He wants to grapple with him. I'm like, bro, what are you talking about? No, no. That's his only way to win. Is he going to knock you out? No. Then why are you trying to grapple with the man? I mean, yeah. he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's a really good grappler. I mean, two of his last three wins come by rear naked choke. That's my only scare of concern, that he's thinking he's just going to go in there and just do whatever the fuck he wants and beat him in every facet when he knows he's got the speed and the power advantage on the feet and the length and the height. You know what I mean? That's my only concern. But if he does fight smart and doesn't get caught in scrambles like a dumbass, I think he gets the job done as well.
Interesting. I like it, but it's interesting.
You know, I don't like that he said that, but it is interesting.
It could just be bullshit. He is a weirdo.
I know. Let's keep it moving. All right. Next up in the flyweight division, we have a fight between Amir Albazi and Alessandro Costa. Right now, Albazi -425. The comeback on Costa +340. Who do you got?
I'm excited for this fight as well.
Me too.
You know, can we get Shorty Torres back in the UFC, please?
I don't know. That dude looks way out of shape.
Well, I know, but can we get him training again then? Like, he delivered Amir his only loss, and I miss him. You know, this is a huge step up for Costa, and while I think he has a lot of promise, Amir should be too much for the Brazilian prospect. You know, Costa seems to always look for the finish, but when he doesn't get it, he becomes frustrated and overextends that much more. You know, look for him to get frustrated and find himself in the ground where Albazi should take over and find the submission win. Costa isn't a slouch on the ground, you know, with a few armbar wins, but he's much more comfortable on the feet. And I just can't see Amir letting him back up once they fall to the ground. I like Amir Albazi by submission win.
I'm definitely looking forward to this fight because I've taped Alessandro Costa for a while coming into the contender series. Lackluster performance. He got the job done. Didn't get the contract. Got a sick knockout in round one of his next fight up. And now he's got the short notice fight against one of the premier fighters in the flyweight division, Amir Albazi. Both guys got great grappling abilities. Costa, a black belt. I believe Albazi is also a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Both high-level elites. I don't believe either one of them have been finished via submission, if I'm not mistaken. I don't believe so. I got to go back. No. Costa has never been finished via by submission, and neither has Albazi as well. So I don't expect a submission win. I really don't. I don't expect Albazi to get the sub.
You heard it here first.
No, I mean, granted, everybody's betting the sub. They just are because, I mean, the line is at +120. So the bookmakers are expecting him to get the sub. I'm going out on a limb here. I like Albazi to win via unanimous decision at +850.
Holy shit. Yeah, that three rounder, very possible. Very, very possible.
He's definitely winning two out of three. If not all three, if it goes decision. Now that's +850.
Yeah, I mean,
there's some really good props on this card, guys. Like a lot of good props. Like Albazi by unanimous decision +850. You could throw fucking $10 on there, win yourself $85, right? Or like I said, the split props. These fights are going to go split. Throw $10 to win 50. Throw $10 to win 35. These are great props. There's a lot of really good props on this card. And I think that's one I'm probably going to take a stab at. Granted, he could go in there, get the submission, fucking ground and pound, first two rounds, and then I'm wiped out, and I get it. But, I think also... he's only been knocked out and he's only lost a decision. And like I said, he's an elite jiu-jitsu practitioner. Elite. So I don't expect him to get subbed. So it's going to come down to whether Abolzi is going to get the knockout. And he's got what? How many knockouts on this? He's got 5 knockouts. Okay. He hasn't had a knockout since 2015. So, and plus on top of it, I don't think he's going to want to stand and bang with Costa, because Costa's got some serious power for a little dude. That dude's got some serious power for 125. He's got a lot of knockouts under his belt for being only 5'4". I mean, he's got 3. But looking at his last fight, he knocked out the guy in 12 fucking seconds. That was pretty impressive. And then in his two of his 3 fights before that, also knocked down to ground and pound. Knocked down to ground and pound. So I just think Abolzi just out-wrestles him. And just outstrikes him, just beats him in every facet of the fight. But I just think it hits the scorecards.
I like that play. I think that's a good one.
Just a little bit. I mean, just a little stab. It's not like something you throw a shit ton of money on. It's definitely not.
That's what I tell my wife all the time. She's like, "Where have you been?" I'm like, "It was just a little stab. I didn't throw a lot of money at her."
Yeah.
So moving on.
All right, we're off to our co-main event. In the lightweight division between Armin Sarukian and Demir Usmagulov. Right now, Sarukian -195 to come back on Usmagulov, +165. What do you got?
Yeah, this one has all the writing on the wall to be the fight of the night. You know, I actually for the longest time was sold on Demir Usmagulov being like one of the next champs. But after his last fight where he was like blinking and shit, I know you know what I'm talking about. And we can talk about it because, like I always say, we will not get any phone calls, but we'll get a lot of letters. it's hard to put faith into him because he just seemed very off. And I think maybe his hearing or whatever is becoming a bigger factor once he gets higher into these fights and fighting these bigger and better opponents. Both guys have great fights behind him, and this shouldn't be any exception. Armand has arguably fought the better competition, and while Demir has looked decent lately, I think it is Armand's speed that'll be the ultimate decider in this one. Like Ponzinibbio last week, Armand comes into this one losing a close decision. I think he'll want to prove something. And because of this, I think he'll be looking for the KO early and often. If he doesn't get it early, I think he will eventually find it. Now, if he doesn't get it, the speed and power should play a role in the judges' scorecards. But I personally think that he will be looking, and I think that he eventually does find that finish. Armand Turkasakian by KO.
Damn, by KO, considering he's an elite grappler, that's gonna be impressive.
I think he doesn't want to go to decision again. I think that I know he's a grappler, okay? Like, don't get me wrong, I know he is, but I think that he's gonna want to prove that he is one of the names that we should continue talking about, and I think he's gonna be looking for the KO.
You know what's crazy? Like, if the fight didn't go, if it didn't go Gamrot's way, where a lot of people thought Sarukian won that fight, right? Sarukian would not be fighting Demir Usmagulov.
Yeah.
He'd be fighting fucking Beneil Dariush. And then he would be the one that would be a -250 favorite against Beneil Dariush. But now he's a -190 favorite against Demir Usmagulov, whose only notable win is Garam Kutatalatse, who's also not ranked.
Yeah. Who's also a really good, really fun to watch, though, too.
It was a fucking fantastic fight, but also I bet on him, and I didn't think he won.
Yeah. I don't think he did either.
And then on top of it, he looked pedestrian against Rafael Alves, too, in the fight before that.
Agreed.
He looked good, but not... is he really going to win a title off that? I don't know. And then after the Garam fight, you're like, okay, this guy's definitely not going to win a title. He's good, put on a great fight, but he's not going to win a title. I mean, there's elite fighters at 155. I think Demir is a little undersized too. I know he's tall, but he's not built like Tsarukyan. He's not built like Gram. He's not even built like Alves either. I mean, he's pretty, not tiny, but like he's pretty skinny. He's not built, you know. Normally these guys at the top, they are fucking jacked at 155. Majority of them for the most part. Because they're cutting a shit ton of weight. I don't think Demir's cutting a shit ton of weight like those guys. But anyways, in terms of the fight goes, I think obviously Tsarukyan's best path to victory is getting the fight to the mat and just kind of grinding him out. Demir's a sniper at range. He's really good on his counters, but I think that little twitch that he's got going on over there is going to be a bit of a nuance, you know, when he's having to defend the grappling and those type of things. So, and I'm plus, I'm very high in Tsarukyan. I took him at -175 earlier in the week. I think he gets the job done here. I think we're getting a value at -175 considering because he was just, what, -285, almost -300 against Gamrot. Yep. Against Gamrot, who Gamrot would also beat Demir Usmagulov. And now he's only -170 against Usmagulov, who went to a split with Gram Kutsutalatse, a decision against Alves. Yeah, so give me Armin here. I think a lot of people are underestimating Armin Tsarukyan, and I think a lot of people are overestimating Demir Usmagulov, much like the Kakhramonov fight. I feel like a lot of people are overestimating Kakhramonov and underestimating Nurmagomedov. So we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to that fight big time. Moving on to our main event, we have a fight in the middleweight division between Jared Cannonier and Sean Strickland. Right now, it's a dead even pick 'em, -110 across the board. Who do you got?
Can you guess?
I think I know.
A lot like Bryce Mitchell of last week. And of course, I didn't get it. I didn't get my amazing post-fight speech that could have been. I mostly want Strickland to win just to hear him talk after the fight. You know, we've had some really good, interesting conversations leading into this fight. Mostly talk shit to the people that are asking him questions, which is fantastic. Calls people virgins, calls people pussies. He is a dickhead's favorite fighter, and he is my favorite fighter outside of Colby Covington. You know,
other you were saying my favorite dickhead, but okay. Yeah,
either way, you know, as far as the fight though, it looks like people are assuming Cannonier wins by KO or Strickland wins by decision. I'm going to have to side with the latter. Most of Cannonier's losses come by decision, so the blueprint is out there. And while the champ did knock out Strickland, Cannonier isn't anywhere near the level of striker that Alex Pereira is. Ultimately, I think this is a back and forth while Strickland is getting the better out of most exchanges. So because of which, I am taking Sean Strickland by decision. And I'm actually fairly confident.
I want to see the lines. Where the fuck is the decision, bro? Strickland by decision, +180.
Yeah.
Cannonier by knockout, +250.
Okay. So the Strickland decision is actually, I was actually just going more off of like what I'm seeing on Twitter. I know Forrest Daniels has Cannon. Yeah, there he is. He's chiming in like right on cue. It's like this is scheduled or something.
Garrett and Jesse, my main event pick is the underdog by Cannonier. Third round knockout.
Yeah, well, now it's a pick 'em, so he's no longer a underdog, really.
Right. So, but anywho, as far as this fight goes, I definitely see the same thing you're seeing, where if it does hit the scorecard, more than likely Strickland gets the job done. That's why it's +180, pretty decent line there. And then you can literally make money just betting both sides on the prop. I mean, why not? Because that you're going to make money either way.
Yep.
Like you're guaranteed a little bit of profit if you bet one unit on each, right? You bet one unit on Strickland to win via decision, you hit +180. Right, and then you're hitting what you'll hit if you lose the Cannonier one, you're up 0.8 units, which is not bad because you're guaranteeing yourself some profit. I like that, but As far as breaking down this fight and who wins, my drawback on betting on Strickland is that he just got knocked the fuck out 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And his dumbass is back in the gym sparring heavy shortly thereafter. This guy doesn't train. He doesn't, like, try to get better at things. He just goes to the gym and punches people in the face and gets punched in the face and the head. So I don't know if I want to go ahead and, like, bet on the guy that just got knocked the fuck out and doesn't give his brain some type of rest to against and then go in against another heavy-handed knockout artist in Cannoneer. I don't think it's going to bode well for him, considering he doesn't move his fucking head.
He doesn't. Ever.
So he's going to get hit with a ton of right-hand bombs from Jaden Cannoneer. You know, that's my drawback. That's my biggest drawback. And that's why I probably would have to side with Cannoneer by knockout. But if I'm betting on this fight, I would do that. Cannoneer by knockout or Strickland by decision. Those are the two ways to bet this fight. I feel like you're gonna make money either way. You make more money, obviously, if Cannoneer hits the knockout. But you're still making money if Strickland wins the decision. But ultimately, I got Cannoneer with the knockout.
The fat lady sings.
The fat lady sings. And that was a long podcast, guys. I know we went over the allotted an hour, but we had a lot to say. We were very excited for this fight card and breaking it down. It's the last fight card of the year, guys. The last one of 2022. That means you will not see the KO breakdown until year 2023. But we will be back. We'll be better than ever. We'll be as sexy as we are right now. We'll be even sexier in 2023. We hope you guys cash out with us this weekend. We also hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas and New Year's. And we love you all and hope you come back to watch us some more next year. Love you guys. Love all of you viewers. Mwah! We will see you guys next year. Adios. We'll see you cashing out at the ticket window.
Bye.
Yeah. Booyah. Adios. Sayonara.